Living Entrepreneurship by Salty. Welcome to this episode. My name is Jesse, the African Son. And what a week.
That's an understatement, Jesse. That's an understatement. I think people were anticipating the long weekend, so people were working overtime. It was hectic for me. I don't know. How was it for you?
I think I'm always working overtime. Okay. Sometimes I'm held up in my desk till midnight.
No, Jesse, you're special.
Then I find it is 2 a.m. Then I have to wake up by 5 to start Kigali in the morning. Very hectic. And now starting to get headaches. I hope I can get over it. But what a week. I look at you and you seem beaten.
I'm tired. I'm tired and I'm not done working. I think that's the thing. Psychologically, you're like, okay, I'm tired, but I still have a lot. And so I'm just tired. That's it. But other than that, I'm still in the game.
Is there a thing for business people to say, I am tired?
No, you can say I'm tired, but I'm tired and I quit are two different things. You can be tired, but does that mean that you're going to stop? No, it doesn't. I'm tired. No, I'm tired, but I know I can't. I don't have that luxury at this juncture.
You don't have the luxury to stop even though you are tired.
Yeah. Actually, there's a joke that I saw on social media. It was a reel, a meme. And they were like, you entered entrepreneurship for freedom, but are you free? And so it's really it's a rhetorical question. But if you think about it, you entered into this thing pursuing freedom. Did you get the kind of freedom you thought you were going to get?
The freedom which is in the liberties you have with your time.
Uh-huh.
You actually don't have any liberties.
No, actually
you're tied down to work.
Definitely. That is the reality of entrepreneurship, at least for the initial years. Then once you grow to a point where you have systems and processes in place, then it becomes easy for you to figure out now how to delegate and hand it over to people. And you can now go to work at 10 or 11 or not even go to work that day, travel.
For the first time, I have no Easter holiday. Everyone is calling me. I'm like, so have you gone for your Easter holiday? I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
First time.
In how many years?
In so many years. I've always had my time to go. Mm-hmm. But the more I get deeper into trying out things business-wise, it's like I'm arrested.
Yeah, and that's the truth, whether you like it or not. And I think maybe that's what we can talk about today. We can talk about, is it a facade? Is the freedom of entrepreneurship a facade? And we just share our personal experiences.
No, you actually start from where you say that entrepreneurship is not for everyone. What kind of people should really pursue entrepreneurship? And how do they even get to know that now I am an entrepreneur?
Okay, so let me talk of who is more predisposed to entrepreneurship. Character-wise, it's easier for you. Not to say that if you're not this type of person, you can't go into this, into this sector. Or pursue your entrepreneurship dream. But first and foremost, you need to be somebody who, you have to be a bit crazy. I'm being serious. Jesse, let's talk about like the conversation we've been having today. We've been talking about two business opportunities and each of them we are committing. We have not yet signed up for these investments, but these are things we're considering. We've not yet figured out, at least for one, we know how we're going to make the money back. But for the other, we don't. Now, imagine the obligation per month just on rent alone. One is 4 million. The other one is going to be like 3 million or 2.5. That's 6.5 million you're going to be parting with and you don't even know when and how you're going to get it back. You're like, okay, that's the cost. We'll figure everything else out. That you have to be crazy to actually even stomach such risk. No matter who you are. Now, that's number one. You have to be a bit crazy. When people told you, when you decided to go start a salon as a man in his, what we call the latter years. Okay, no, you're not that old. But beyond youth, the question I would ask is, don't you sound crazy to people?
Very crazy. Actually, when I sit in the business, I ask myself so many questions like, okay, what exactly am I doing here? Because I would not answer any hair question.
You don't have it to start with.
I do not even have an idea what to tell a customer who comes over to the desk for inquiries. Mm. I have to call someone to come through.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. Do you know what drop the pilot is? The hairstyle.
Tell me about it.
Okay, do you know about... Let me ask you a bunch of hairstyles and you tell me if you know or recognize anyone. So there's drop the pilot, you don't know that one. Do you know carrot?
Carrot?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know carrot? You know carrot? Don't you know carrot?
No, I actually don't.
Okay, do you know singles? At least singles you should know. Okay, do you know doubles? Okay, do you know marriage? Okay, there's no marriage. No, but okay, do you know mushroom?
Yes.
You know, at least you know mushroom. Mm-hmm. So drop the pilot, that one, okay, I didn't make it up, but I realized in Rwanda they don't know what drop the pilot is. So drop the pilot is where, like, you know, like when a woman ties her hair in a ponytail, mm-hmm. or even a man, you know, in today's world, and then they throw over like a bit of hair on the side, like on the side of their face, it just hangs. So mm-hmm. according to them, they've dropped the pilot. That's what drop the pilot is. I learned it. So my mom owned a salon in Botswana. That's another long story. So I used to work there during the holidays. So that's how I know what drop the pilot is. But that's besides the point. You're a crazy man.
I am very crazy. Mm-hmm. And what makes me even super crazy is mm-hmm. I'll be nosing around for the next idea mm-hmm. where I can put my small money for a return. Mm-hmm. As I still struggle with the problems of
the first
investment,
I know. I know. And that's the definition of an entrepreneur. So you need to be a bit crazy. Like, you need to be able to do things that to a normal person seem nuts. You know, and that's the thing. Like, whether it's you're a small entrepreneur or a very big entrepreneur, whether you're doing a small shop or you're selling things online, like small things to your loved ones out of your handbag, or you're going to try to set up a $1 billion multinational company, when you look at all these individuals, there's just this element of eccentricity, the eccentric. Mm-hmm. If the English is too much, an eccentric person is somebody who's just not cut from the same cloth as society. They are different. And it's in a weird way. And that's what defines the crazy, because in the environment they are, the people who go against the grain, that's what an entrepreneur is. Mm. Number two, and it's tied to that, is that they are socially disagreeable. They're okay to be laughed at. They're okay to be rejected. They're okay with not being admired and respected. As long as they're pursuing what they feel is important, mm-hmm. because they know at some point they will get the respect once they achieve their goals. So that person is like, yeah, you don't respect me now because you think I don't have money because I'm hustling amongst let me talk of young entrepreneurs, right? Most people in their 20s, young professionals, leave. Let's talk about the age group, right? So guys go through school traditionally. Let's say both the entrepreneur and the working professional leave university, they graduate. So they graduate at what, 22, 23, right? Now they go into one goes into the job market. This is where their paths diverge, right? One goes into the job market, the other one goes into entrepreneurship. Now, the one who goes into the job market, from the get-go, if they're lucky and they get a job, they have money. Like, they have money. Every month they have something. Which is different. They went from zero to now, like, even if it's 200K. They went from zero to 200K. They have something. The counterpart, the entrepreneur, went from zero to negative because he probably had to borrow money to start. He's probably in debt with his landlord.
The guy in the job market is actually balling. He has a weekend to spend.
Exactly. His earned money. And so when you take those two people, the guy looks like he's living his best life. Now, do you know what's messed up? When one is going up, the other one is going down. And you'd think I'm talking about the entrepreneur going up. No. The entrepreneur, as he progresses in his 20s, things are getting worse. Things are getting significantly worse. For the one who got a job, he maybe gets a promotion, maybe even luckily he has enough money, gets a scholarship, goes and does a master's, 1 year, gets a bump up. So by the time they hit 27, 28, the one who has been a working professional is at, let me talk of now men, is at a point where he feels like he can settle down and get married. The entrepreneur is like, married for who? I can't even feed myself. How can I go feed another person's child? Like, it can't work. But this is where it now gets interesting. Because so many years of consistently hustling and grinding have worked, by the time they hit 30, that's when now the differences start to emerge. Mm-hmm. Because any 20-year-old who gets into that career and gets a master's in their 20s, right, are probably going to peak career-wise at around like 32.
Mm.
Unless something special happens along the way, they upskill or they progress through the ranks. But from 32 up to like 40, they're going to be stuck in some kafunk. Unless they also change organizations and they get that bump up.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk of money, it doesn't change that much. By the time, if the guy got a master's and is smart and everything, you find, or she's smart, you find they're probably earning 1.5, 2 million, right? Good money, 32, good money, right? Mm-hmm. They have a good home. They go get a mortgage. They've done it the quote unquote the right way. You have this entrepreneur who 20s, he doesn't even want to remember them because they were tough. He developed a lot of enemies because he owed a lot of people money, barely survived incarceration because maybe he gave one bad check, that kind of thing. Now, he gets to 30 and the years of maturity that have come from business start to emerge.
Mm.
The depth of his contacts in the business world start to bear forth fruit. Now he starts to make money. He pays off one loan, pays off another one, clears this debt. He now has like 2 million in his pocket. He's not badly off, but he has some money. He, like you said, keeps investing. He's not settling because he knows this is barely enough for me to move forward. Yes, it's like a 5 million, but it's not enough. I want to see myself making 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, 50 million, 100 million every month. That's what I want, and I can see how I can do it. So I'm going to keep grinding. I'm going to keep investing. He does that 30, 31, 32. It now starts to exponentially grow. Now, by the time both of those guys hit 33, 34, 35, our working professional who peaked at 32
is lost a job.
He probably loses a job. We're not laughing about job loss. Jesse, why are you cracking jokes about job loss? But he probably loses a job.
It happens all the time. Yes.
And you see, what happens with a working professional is probably if he gets a good job, he'll probably tell the wife, because she may be having kids, it's a young family, stay home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they only have one income, loses the job. He has a mortgage. He has loans. Mind you, our entrepreneur guy, because he's now starting to make money, he bought small pieces of land to preserve his money at 31, 32, when he's starting to make money. By the time he gets to 35, that land has gone up. He can start building his own home. He can go build an apartment block. By the time those two groups reach 40, you cannot compare the entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
But if the entrepreneur in his 20s was a socially agreeable person, what does that simply mean? He sought to conform to what society would consider normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would have never taken that risk at all. Jesse, do you know what it means to be broke? When you see the people around you making money, there is a study that I was listening to somebody talk about on a podcast, and they were talking about how our happiness is not intrinsic. It's tied to our environment. So if I'm earning 1 million and everybody in the environment I'm living in are earning 100K or 500K, I'll be very happy. But if I'm earning 3 million and everybody around me is earning 10 million, I'll be very unhappy. And so it's the same logic. Yet you're finding an entrepreneur who, by all intents and purposes, you would otherwise be okay, is in an environment where he's seeing the people he went to school with thriving, settling down, having families, they have a home, a good home. Mortgaged, but a good home. The guy is driving what's this car from Volkswagen that everybody likes? This is Gen Z, the one they like.
So the T-Cross?
No, there's T-Cross, there's another one. Tiguan.
Tiguan.
Yeah. Guy driving Tiguan, the wife is driving, I don't know what car, hybrid, whatever. And all those stuff are loans. But he could sit there and he could be like, my life, I've messed up, I made the wrong choice. But true entrepreneurs, the character that defines an entrepreneur is naturally, are those who are like, that's their life. May I have my life. I know what I'm going to achieve. That is the second one. I have more. And I think we can continue that after, because I think we've hit 15 minutes.
Oh, yes. We could talk and talk and talk and talk.
You can talk and talk and talk.
No, you could talk and talk and talk.
Thank you, sir.
The thing is, in this episode of the broadcast on this podcast is, we feel tired. We're running. We want to make ends meat.
Beyond meat. We need to get those ends to just form a family, produce children.
We want to actualize like,
yeah,
our
we need
lives,
them to enter into a relationship. Those ends need to, beyond just meeting, they need to know each other on a personal level, man.
But yeah. It's not easy, and no one guarantees you that it is easy. But let's come back and talk about, in the midst of all the chaos in the entrepreneurship journey, what is that one factor that guarantees you that, yes, you're going to struggle, you're going to get tired, it's going to get complicated, you struggle with people, you struggle with finances, name it. What is that one factor that guarantees that at the end of the day, it will pay off and you will look back and say, thank God, I stayed in there. That's when we come back. Welcome back to Living Entrepreneurship by Salty. You need to understand sometimes the mood with which we come to have this broadcast.
I know. We're tired, but it's a holiday. I think that's why we're in a good mood, and we've even removed our shoes. It's wild. It's wild in the studio today.
I can't wait when we start having this broadcast live.
I know. Do you know how much fun it's going to be? And the good thing is that we're sober funners. Like, we know how to have fun when we're sober. So I can imagine like how much fun people are going to have watching it.
So after going through everything you go through as an entrepreneur, you've been abused. People have laughed at you, at your enterprise, and whatever it is, your idea that you're running about with. You truly, truly want to succeed. At one point, you are convinced you will succeed. You have a mental picture of what you're trying to do and how it will come out. In reality, it seems to be taking its own direction. You start to have doubts. Maybe it's the wrong move that I made. Maybe it's the wrong product. Maybe I'm in the wrong location. Maybe it's the wrong market. What guarantees you as an entrepreneur that, hey, at the end of the day, it will pay off?
So, there's the factor, then there's the indicator. And the indicator cannot happen without the factor. So let me talk about the indicator and then maybe build the tension, you know? We get to a climax and the crescendo, and then I give you what actually leads to that. If you see customers coming to your business every day, if you see people buying your product every day, you're good. You're going to figure it out. Like, there are just maybe some issues that are along that need to be resolved along the way. But if you have customers, that's a good sign. If you don't have customers, but you had them, that means that you are in serious problems. Because normally, if customers don't come towards you, there is a very, very big reason. Now, that is the indicator to know, to give you that sense that, okay, I'm struggling now, but I'll make it work when you have customers. People who believe in what you're selling. But how do you find those people? Or how do you get people to believe in what you're doing? Show up every day. One word, consistency. You need to be consistent. You know, we before we came to the studio, we were talking about, you and I were talking about this sense of entitlement. That I think doesn't just transcends generations. Like, it's just a cut and dry thing you see between successful people and people who are struggling, right? Is the sense that somebody owes them something. Jesse, like, and we talked about it. That you find somebody is there, they are struggling at life, and any opportunity you put before them, and I'm not talking about the kind of opportunity where you are degrading somebody, but where they're getting some decent money. I mean, if you give somebody some decent money. But even in that sense of giving them some opportunities at that, there's still this sense that you should be doing more for them. And I've seen, like I said, it transcends so many sectors, so many, it transcends gender, transcends generation and age groupings. That comes from this belief that someone owes you something. And if you go with that mentality into business, you will always expect somebody else to show up instead of you. And the reality is, you need to do what? Mind your own business. It's yours. Mind it. And so the same thing, if you understand that you have to mind your own business, you will show up every day. You'll be consistent. People can expect something from you they can expect quality from you. They can expect you to show up on time. They can expect you to go the extra mile. Even if your products are not perfect, they know that you're going to work towards making sure that the service on delivery or fixing the issues that are not right with the product or service will be done on time. They know that you're going to always be consistent with giving the flexibility that they need when it comes to making changes on the product. Mm-hmm. You are consistent. You don't just do it one day, then the next day you are flaky. You're not here today, then tomorrow you're telling people, you're coming up with excuses why you can't show up to work because you need to do X, Y, and Z, but you don't want to tell that to your boss. All of those things, Jesse, are ways somebody can ensure that people believe in them. Because the only way for you to succeed, and we talked about this last week, is you for you to build capital is you need people. And those people can only believe in you if they see your effort. And the only way for people to see your effort is for you to show up on the pitch every day. Mm-hmm. Before everybody and after everybody. You're the first to show up and you're the last to leave. All they know is you working and you grinding, you in your business, you putting out proposals, you putting out content. That consistency, people respect it. Because they'll be like, but this person has been at this thing for a long time. There must be a reason why. And it comes back to the first thing that I talked about when we talked about the character traits that are necessary for, that I wouldn't say necessary, but kind of help make it easy for a person to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You need to be crazy. You need to be doo-loo-loo. Like, people have to look at you and be like, that homie mad.
What are you building?
Exactly. Oh, you're asking me, what am I building?
No.
Yeah, like guys are like,
people should ask, what is it you're building? You don't seem to be getting anywhere, but you know you're actually here. Targeting someone.
And why, exactly, and why aren't you getting a job? And this is a crazy thing. Like, if you're an entrepreneur who has a spouse, or you're married to an entrepreneur, and a struggling entrepreneur, and you're not an entrepreneur yourself, because if you're an entrepreneur, you can understand it. But if you're not an entrepreneur and you're married to this entrepreneur, or you are, or you know of one who's married and you have info on the marriage, it's very interesting if you ask those spouses, they can't get it. I'm sure you're listening and you're like, I can't understand why my husband can't just get a job.
and we be okay.
Yeah. Mm. He has the qualifications. He has the skills. He can get a job tomorrow. Yeah. I wish you could understand. You cannot see it, but he can. And that's why after all is said and done, and I'm now being a bit scandalous here, but that's why you find normally entrepreneurs end up on the second, third marriages. Actually, most successful entrepreneurs are less than 30% stay in that first marriage. Mm-hmm. Because the person they got married to the first time didn't understand it.
Just can't get it.
They can't. They were at the building phase. And so they just thought that this person was being irresponsible. So by the time this person attained success, it was already too late. The trust bank was empty. It was bankrupt. The spouse didn't trust them. They felt, they resented each other. This one resented the other one for not caring for the family enough. The entrepreneur resented the spouse for not supporting that dream. And so they end up separating. So by the time they get to the second person is fine coming when the business is at a point where it makes sense.
This being living entrepreneurship by Sorty, mm-hmm. I'm going to hold you there.
Hold it.
And ask you to bring some hope to an entrepreneur that it should not be like that, though. Mm. They should not be moving from one marriage to another simply because their partners can't get it. What has to happen in between to avoid that?
Communication and expectations. Do you know what's crazy, Jesse? And I know this sounds like I'm bashing people who are married, but I'm just sharing my own personal experience. So I'm planning to tie the knot soon, right?
Ooh.
Yeah, and I'm putting it out there. I'm starting on business in 2024.
I'll have a podcast live on that day.
living entrepreneurship.
Ain't waiting for Saturdays.
Yeah, that's hilarious. No, but so in the process, like any venture I get into, I've approached it the same way I approach entrepreneurship. Study. Mm. Understand what you're getting yourself into. And the best way to understand what you're getting yourself into is approach the people who are in it to kind of get that perspective. Mm. And not necessarily just asking them questions, but also observing. And one of the things I've noticed is one of the biggest points of contention between individuals who get married is expectations, mismatch of expectations. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest areas where these expectations get get distorted or are not aligned is finances and money.
Mm.
And what I can tell any entrepreneur who's listening to this, the biggest solution for you to prevent yourself from having that situation where your spouse, you resent your spouse and they resent you, or even to the extent where you both have contempt for each other, this is an inner hatred. Because you see, hate is hate. It sounds surface level. Contempt is to the core.
Mm-hmm.
It's where resentment crystallizes into something hard that cannot be changed. Sorry. So to prevent yourself from getting to that point, you need to sit down and be honest and manage expectations and say, babe, I may have days I have money, there are days I don't have money. I'm an entrepreneur.
The days I will be on the phone, days I won't even.
There are days when I'll be available to talk to you all the time, there are days when I won't. There are days where I can be there for our kids, there are days when I won't. There are days where when I can't be 100, allow me to not be. And just understand that. And if you feel like you are getting to that point where you feel like you need something from me, also communicate. Because that's also another thing. This is what we have, these all uncommunicated expectations where someone feels like you should have just known. Like, if I knew, I would have. So please just help me and guide me along that route. So I would say, sit down with your spouse and have that conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell them what to expect and be honest. Because there's this desire that we have to embellish our situation.
Like just make it disappear?
To make it sound better than it actually is.
Mm.
So you want to give hope to the person you're with that I have the ability to take care of you. So you're going to tell them, yeah, I have this project that I'm working on. I have this thing that I'm doing. I'm expecting this money. But you're also not telling them that also I have this bank loan that I need to clear. I have this issue that I have to sort out. There are all these issues that are there. You embellish. You're like, but I'm sorting them out. It's not a big deal. Only to find yourself in a marriage and, sorry to use profanity, but ish hits the fan, you know? And it's all over the room and it's like, what are we going to do? And now the truth comes out and it's hard and the person resents you for being dishonest. I don't know, let's say you're already married.
And you were just trying to do your best.
To put your best foot forward. And I remember we had this conversation, I remember like about a year ago. And we're talking about how should people present themselves when it comes to looking for a spouse? And I know we've shifted from the conversation about entrepreneurship, but it's tight.
Necessary.
It's necessary.
Yes.
Because, I mean, who you marry is arguably the most important. It's
way too much exactly. To what you become as an entrepreneur.
As a human being.
Mm.
And so you look at this situation and you're like, okay, we had this debate and we're talking about how people will always, isn't it lying if someone puts their best foot forward and always covers? Like if a woman goes and wears makeup, or if a man always shows you his good side and never shows you, or when we dress up and we go out, or where we see each other in the church setting, one is serving in the prison worship, and the other one is, I don't know, serving in the men's ministry or in counseling or in children's class, Sunday school. Isn't that lying? And I remember we had this debate. It was not just us. It was us and a bunch of other friends, remember? Mm-hmm. And we're talking about how, isn't it, why can't you just be honest? And the truth is, when it comes to money, you need to be as transparent as possible, because money can be a source of pleasure, but it can also be a serious source of pain and anguish. I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are on this, at least from a marriage perspective.
You have to be transparent with the money and also how you actually make
your money.
The money.
That's another story.
Because when they do understand, especially your partner, when they do understand how you make the money, they'll be much more empathetic because they know the process. They understand the process.
Mm.
But when they do not understand that you have covers and you say, I'm busy, I'm running after this, you just don't get it. Mm. They will never get it because you're not being straight with the ways, you know, to how you get what you get.
Mm. And so you believe that it's important for an entrepreneur to bring a spouse into that world.
Of course, to have the conversations, to understand what it is they are trying to build.
Mm.
At the end of the day, God forbid, when the entrepreneur ceases to be, do they want what they have built to also cease to be?
Mm. No, I hear you. And I think that's very powerful. I think coming now back to just bringing this point home, I would say that conversation one has to have when it comes to marriage and entrepreneurship is the realities of what it means to be married to one. And I'm not saying that an entrepreneurship needs to be narcissistic, that the world revolves around him, but the spouse needs to know what they're signing up for. It's kind of like getting married to a serviceman, like a soldier, an army officer. Best believe you know that there'll be times where your husband will not be there for like 2-3 years at a time. Maybe just coming one in and out to make you pregnant, drop the kids and go back.
To keep you busy.
Yeah, I figure, yeah. But you know what you're signing up for. So it's the same thing with entrepreneurship. It's not, you're just not just marrying a guy, because there's a cost to it, because you're going to live. There's a saying that says entrepreneurship is living a few years like no one is willing, so that you can live the rest of your life like no one can. And so are you willing to sacrifice those 10 years as your husband builds or your wife builds? Because also that's another story that we've never talked about, when men are married to female entrepreneurs, because that's also another tasking thing. You're not going to get a woman who's going to cook for you. Like home care, what you might find that that's not, you're never, you'll find she's going to give birth and she's on planes back and forth all over the world. You're going to be the one to take care of those kids, drop them at school, pick them up, make sure that the kids are taken care of. How do you nurture kids? And so you just need to prepare yourself mentally for that. Now, the entrepreneur also has to be sensitive enough to know how to validate their spouse emotionally, to feed into them emotionally, so that they are not running on a deficit at the expense of the entrepreneur.
You bring so much salt to the earth. You bring so much salt into the entrepreneurship journey. This beautiful day. I'd like to appreciate you so much, Ephraim. And I think it's important to just be vulnerable sometimes, even as we hustle, to just know it can be painful. We are humans. We are not robots as entrepreneurs. We have all the emotions. I look at some of my partners, they lose emotions all the day. I'm quite a very controlled man, so. But, you know, I would feel it. I'd feel the pain and, you know, just try to absorb the emotions. It's a difficult journey. An entrepreneurship journey is very difficult, very challenging. It comes with everything that you can imagine. But again, grace carries us through.
That's true.
I know everyone does not want this conversation to end, especially the part where we speak about marriage and an entrepreneur.
I know.
I'm hoping that on your wedding day, when they ask me to speak, I'll just play a portion of this.
Guys,
and that will be it.
Jesse, why are you keeping receipts? Why are you keeping receipts? But it's fine. I don't mind. I think I can stand by what I said. I think life is, I think I said sense when it comes to that. So I think practice, by the way, it's easy to say things. It's harder to put into practice. But I'm blessed with an amazing person. So I think she understands it. She's very supportive. I pray to God that it will be sustained. I also pray to God that I'll be empathetic enough to be there for her the way she needs me to be.
I'm happy for you that we're having this conversation, Ephraim.
On air. Yeah.
And online, where we keep the receipts.
Exactly, exactly. Which they can find us, you guys can find us on all platforms. Find us at Salty Africa, that's SALTEE Africa, on X, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on YouTube.
We hope that we have brought you something with substance today. God bless you. Until next weekend, bye-bye.